It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wardrobe.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Good afternoon, good evening, good whenever you decided to click this show. This is Cash Wampum welcoming you to the 26th episode of Horror 101, where we're educating your fears. Just got back from Fan Expo, so I guess you could probably call me Broke Wampum. Man, those things are expensive. But what a great experience. We got to shoot the shit with Ken Foray and Joe Dante. Bruce Abbott and Barbara Crampton from Reanimator were there. Met Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, and I told him, I'm like, listen, Boondock Saints is the greatest hidden gem I'd ever found in my life. And he told me himself that they're writing part three, and him and Flannery are in. Nude was all excited. She got to meet Michael Rooker. We got pictures. He's giving her kisses. Showed him the website for Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer we did a few shows back. I had the guy off his chair beaming. I told him, I said, you and Tom Towles and John McNaughton, you revolutionized horror with that film. The guy just gets out of his chair. And our friend, the world-famous Brian Stewart, who, if you don't know, is a huge Doctor Who fan. I mean, like, when he dies, he's going to want to be buried in the TARDIS. Doctor Who fan, okay? He got to meet Colin Baker, who played the Doctor back in the 80s, so that made his year. We met James Hong, and I got him to quote my favorite Lo Pan line.
Who are these people? Friends of yours, huh? Now, this really pisses me off to no end.
But I think the highlight of the whole thing was that Saturday night when a bunch of us went down to the TIFF and screened Phantasm 2 on a rare 35mm print with writer-director Don Coscarelli. We had a Q&A after that, met the guy afterwards. I told him, I said, I don't care what you do, I don't care what it takes, get the money and give us our Phantasm 5. He laughed. He wants to do it. He even got Angus Grimm on the line and put the microphone up to his phone so we could talk to him for a bit. That was fun. And Charles Band was there. But we missed a seminar by about half an hour. We were bummed out about that. We didn't get a chance to meet him. And he produced Tourist Trap, which was our last show. So with that in mind, and remembering that David Schmoller had told us during our interview that he loved Stuart Gordon films, why don't we take elements of both and use them to unlock the Full Moon Entertainment vault? This show, it's Stuart Gordon's The Pit and the Pendulum.
There is one faith. One worship, one church, and all else is sin, and sin will be punished.
With me tonight is the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, my wife, the lovely Nude, and for the last time in a little while anyway, because he's off to China for a few months, it's the nefarious Paul B.
Go back to China, bitch.
Now observed with what horror it is needless to say that its lower extremity was a crescent of glittering steel. About a foot in length from horn to horn, the horns upward, and the under edge evidently as keen as that of a razor, and it hissed as it swung through the air, inch by inch. With a descent only appreciable at intervals that seemed ages, down and still down it came. Days passed ere it swept so closely over me as to fan me with its acrid breath. I prayed for its more speedy descent. I grew frantically mad and struggled to force myself upward against the sweep of the fearful scimitar. And then suddenly I fell calm and lay smiling at the glittering death as a child would at some rare bauble.
The Pit and the Pendulum is a story written by Edgar Allan Poe and was first published in 1842. In it, an unknown man, the narrator, is sentenced to death by the Spanish Inquisition, and after a near fall to certain death in his prison, he is drugged and awakes to find himself bound at the foot of this huge pit, with this pendulum adorned with a razor-sharp axe head swinging back and forth above him. And as it swings back and forth, it creeps closer and closer for the kill. It's the usual cheerful Poe shit. Over the years, there have been many cinematic renditions of Poe's Pit and the Pendulum. Parts of it have been referenced hundreds of times, but in 1961, Roger Corman directed Pit and the Pendulum, starring Vincent Price. In that film, Price plays Don Medina, a descendant of an Inquisition torturer who still lives in the castle where the tools of death that killed thousands still remain dormant. In the beginning, he's a mild and timid gentleman who is struggling with the recent death of his wife. But his family has secrets that are used against him, and after a clever deception, he's brought to madness, and the Medina Chamber of Death is once again put to use.
Do you know where you are, Bartholomew?
Don Medina, I am Francis Barnum.
I will tell you where you are. You are about to enter hell, Bartholomew. Hell! The Neverworld. The infernal region. The abode of the damned, the place of torment, pandemonium, Abaddon, Tophet, Gehenna, Naraka, the pit, and the pendulum.
The film we'll be looking at was made 3 decades later in 1991. It's a Stuart Gordon film starring Lance Henriksen and Jeffrey Combs.
I always said that any Stuart Gordon movie that had Jeffrey Combs in it, you can't do wrong. And there's at least four of them. Started with Reanimator, then it went to From Beyond, and then they came, I think this was the next movie they did, which was Pit and the Pendulum, and they did Fortress.
Fortress, oh, I love.
I love Fortress.
Kurtwood Smith.
Kurtwood Smith. And
Christopher Lambert.
It's Jeffrey Combs, and the whole movie is entertaining. That's the great thing about a Stuart Gordon film. The guy knows the genre. All his whole fucking film is entertaining.
You remember my buddy Dave, right? Who was one of the convention with us?
Yes.
I showed him Fortress, and he's a huge Jeffrey Combs fan. Get to the end of the movie and had no idea that Jeffrey Combs was in it.
He didn't recognize him?
He didn't recognize him. The guy that just blends into roles.
Satan is ever present among us. Every sin and deed, word or thought, no matter how long forgotten, must be truly confessed and punished. Don Afonso de Alba Molina, the Holy Inquisition finds you guilty of heresy.
No!
And you and your descendants must be cleansed in blood.
This is a great film.
Oh, it is.
This is a great film.
At least I guarantee I have good money right now that you two will come out of this loving this movie. From the first moment, you're like, I can't believe what I'm watching. This is absolutely great. Even though it's macabre, you're like, this is fucking awesome.
Don Alfonso de Alba Molina, by the taint of impurity in your blood, your wealth and the wealth of your heirs is forfeit to the church.
Thief.
And you are sentenced to 20 lashes.
Watching them exhume a corpse, beat it, grind it into dust, and turn it into a fucking hourglass, I was hooked. I was hooked right from there. And then that music, that beautiful medieval choir kind of powerful score scrolling along that picture. What a way to open a film. It's just, you dig right in, right through there. I was hooked.
The story is set in Spain in 1492. A baker named Antonio and his wife Maria get separated in the thralls of the auto de fe, the public execution of confessed heretics. The Inquisition is burning De Contessa Diablo Molina alive while they beat her child in front of her.
I like De Contessa Diablo Molina there, bribing the hangman to kill her before she burned.
Master Executioner. Kill me quickly. My God's mercy. Don't let me burn alive.
Yeah.
Here, take this expensive ruby, please. Don't fucking let me burn.
How'd they let her keep that?
She hid it.
It was probably in her box.
Yep. It was in the...
Nobody ever find it in there.
And Brian Stewart was happy because they actually depicted somebody strangling correctly with the tongue coming out
right,
of their face.
That's right, the bloody protruding tongue. That's what a strangulation should look like.
I'd forgotten about that. And then you get it again when you see the specter of that dead bitch at the end of the movie and she turns
the
around
the protruding tongue.
Yeah.
How can you stand it? You must do something.
There is nothing we can do.
Marie is too sensitive to the pain she witnesses, and without thinking, she hurls herself into the action, begging the Inquisition to stop. Not a smart move.
Arrest her.
Arrest her!
On what charge?
Witchcraft.
Witch! Gash her!
You've never seen Lance Henriksen like this ever before. Like, what's the most villainous you've ever seen Lance Henriksen?
Hard Target.
Mm. Yeah. But that was kind of over-the-top John Woo kind of shit.
It's probably best known work.
Stone
was
Cold.
His best known work was probably in the series Millennium.
And you know what? Lance Henriksen, for me, is so powerful that he makes bad movies good, like Stone Cold. I'd have never fucking watched Stone Cold.
Horrible fucking movie.
I would have never watched that.
But Brian Bosworth.
There's two reasons I watched that movie. William Forsythe and fucking Lance Henriksen.
Near Dark would be my Lance Henriksen at his evil, as most evil.
Yeah.
Look at that performance again. You go back and watch it. He enjoyed being evil.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing it because it was some kind of need. He enjoyed doing it. He enjoyed torturing those people, the bar scene. Mm-hmm. He enjoys torturing those people. He gets off on it.
He relishes his hypocrisies in this movie.
The mountain has come to Mohammed.
Lance Henriksen is Brother Torquemada, the Grand Inquisitor of this film. It's hard to compare him to any other character. He is vile with a capital V. He arrests Maria and accuses her of witchcraft because she unintentionally gives him a stiffy while begging for mercy. Since the holy prick doesn't work and she breathed life into it, he decides to defile her in every way imaginable, starting with having her stripped down for close inspection by his cohorts.
I swear by all the saints that I'm not a witch.
Is there a mark or not?
Yes.
If it is, it's the only one. Otherwise, she's perfect.
Does she bear Satan's mark?
She had nice tits, good shape, and she could have used a trim. I forget the actress's name. I don't think she's done anything else. No. Just this movie.
She did have nice tits, actually.
Perky, round,
yeah.
Centered nipples.
Yeah.
I you know what?
She had great tits. She had a good body, but she definitely needed...
That part definitely's got to go on the podcast. When a chick's talking about another chick's tits, that part goes in the podcast.
What, am I to get into their no? They were great. She had a great body.
Well, I heard that the Pope is sending a bishop in order to make us stop using torture.
I heard it was a cardinal.
Brother Torquemada will never allow it.
The Pope is the Pope.
And Brother Torquemada is the Grand Inquisitor of Spain.
The Pope's emissary does show up, and imagine my surprise when we find it's none other than the late great Oliver Reed entering as the cardinal to shut down Torquemada's operation. Watching these two great actors spar off in a battle of authority is a highlight not soon forgotten.
The Pope also wants the Inquisition to stop the use of torture and declare an amnesty on all heretics and the witches. Rome is behind the times. His Holiness is old and lost his zeal.
He is the Pope!
And I am the Inquisition.
A word of advice, do not challenge the Inquisition in the bowels of their own dungeon. It's not going to end well for you.
Your Eminence never arrived. Had an accident on the road.
And gashing the head is such a foolish superstition. And it doesn't even work. Look, you can still cast spells.
You're a witch!
And you're not, are you?
While Maria languishes in prison, she meets up with Esmeralda, a real witch. And she's slated to be burned at the stake at the Auto de Fe. Greatest witch burning ever.
I'm sorry, mistress, that you weren't able to properly confess. There just wasn't enough time to torture you.
Thanks, anyway.
They had that little humor in there between Esmeralda and Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, exactly. That was just a great scene all in all.
Christians of the holy city of Toledo, tonight we rid our country of one of the most dangerous and evil women, Mistress Esmeralda. She has midwifed many of Satan's children into this world and changed them for Christian babies.
Who the hell makes up this shit? While Torquemada is spewing his rhetoric to a group of sheeple, Esmeralda is casually wolfing down a bunch of gunpowder. I bet you can imagine where this is going.
As soon as you see her, she's like, gunpowder, I'm like, oh, that is the best idea ever.
Yeah.
If you're gonna go with a fucking bang.
Yeah.
The righteous will prevail. The guilty punished.
Torquemada, you hypocrites, you tyrants. I curse you to die by your own tortures at the hands of all the innocent souls you thought you'd kill.
Blasphemer!
Look into hell!
Bone trouble!
Gunpowder witch burning!
Sounds like something from a Japanese game show. Oh god, it's awesome. As soon as you hear her say gunpowder and just start shoveling it into her mouth, I knew, hands down, that was going to be my favorite scene.
And it was. Somebody got impaled by a femur.
Oh, yeah. The executioner gets, like, a femur in his chest.
And I like how her prophecy comes true, but just as he's like, if I lie, may my tongue be... And all of a sudden, he's got blood flying out of his mouth. Oh, shit.
Oh, the curse of the hag.
The explosive death of Esmeralda is a pivotal point in the story. This is where all the karma of Torquemada's evil begins to haunt him. He's tortured Maria almost to death, defiled her in ways that need to be seen to be believed, tortured her husband, murdered a cardinal, and has been putting innocents to death for years. This guy has some serious shit coming for him. But we'll get to that. His last act of treachery is putting Antonio in his new device, the pit and the pendulum.
Look up. Razor sharp. The finest Toledo steel. I shall christen my new device with your blood.
What did you think about the segment with the actual device there? I mean, it is called the pit and the pendulum, and that's what you're waiting for right there. It's the pit and the fucking pendulum.
I like the rat getting diced in half.
Stupid rat.
Using its, squeezing its innard on the rope so the other rats would eat it away so we could escape. It
reminded me of Dragon Slayer. That was... when the princess was trying to get through her bindings through her own blood.
No! No one escaped! No one!
Oh, he escapes all right. But the pendulum manages to claim a victim as the guards try to stop him.
Kill him, fools! Or I'll have you burned!
Enter Tom Tolles, captain of the guard. Sucks to be him as he backs into 2 feet of razor-sharp swinging death.
I told you Tom Towles died badly.
Mm-hmm.
Was I wrong?
I love the half of him on the ground.
Suddenly, Torquemada has no friends, and he finds himself haunted by all the souls that he has wronged throughout the film, culminating into an end fitting for someone so debauched.
You all deserved to die. Your hearts are black with sin. Oh.
But you know what? You watch this movie, and I look at it even now, and it says 1991. It does not feel like it was made in 91. It feels like it was made back in, like, the 70s.
Yeah?
Yeah. The way the sets look didn't look authentic, but they also, they look more stagey. The costuming, like I say, was like out of a Corman picture, how they were overly flamboyant.
Well, the black hood all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like I say, it felt like a kind of 60s or 70s Corman flick.
The only thing, you know, I would agree with you, except, and you mentioned this while we were watching the movie, was the blood. The blood looks spot on.
Oh, especially after...
In spots, it was inconsistent, because when Talos gets cut in half...
Somebody was just dumping a blood or something in there.
Ah, shit, we're out of blood. What do you got? Paint? Sweet. Okay, throw it.
Tomato sauce? But when she had her cunt, or her tongue removed...
Did you say cunt? I thought you were going to go with the other thing.
Whew.
There's
a slight Freudian clip. So when she had her tongue cut out there, though, when the blood was starting to congeal on her chin, it was drying, it was starting to clot beautifully. Like, you could see that it was starting to dry out. And the glimmer, the way the light hit it.
Don't forget, that wasn't one continual shot.
No.
So they went back and they stippled it and then afterwards, yeah.
The Grand Inquisitor himself said she's innocent. The baker and his wife are free to go. But the others... There will always be others.
And of course, yeah, Jeffrey Combs. An understated role, but... I'd watch him reading the phone book.
Charles Band had one great asset as a film producer. His brother Richard was his composer for most of his films. If you watched a Full Moon or Stuart Gordon movie in the 80s and 90s, it was a good bet you were listening to his score. And his work in Pit and the Pendulum is certainly some of his best work from that time. Pit and the Pendulum has hokey comic relief, grim torture, horrible death and action, and no matter what the musical atmosphere the film needed, Richard's score matched it perfectly, and it also matched the period of the story. Our hats off to Richard Band, a very underrated composer.
These movies were made for direct to VHS.
Yeah.
That's basic. Full Moon Pictures were basically, I think maybe Puppet Master was at the theater, but very rarely did we in this part of the planet see a Full Moon movie on the big screen. It was always right to VHS. And I think that's what Charles Band wanted to produce.
Yeah.
But this represents the caliber of movies that Full Moon was making around the early 90s. Charles Band would throw a couple million dollars at a movie and they'd get a good cast together, a good crew, and make a solid film. As the years went by, when they got to like Puppet Master 4 and those titles, it really started going downhill because, like David Schmoller said, he started throwing less and less money at these movies, and all of a sudden, you know, this was shot in 6 weeks or something like that. Movies at the end of the Full Moon reign were shot in 6 to 9 days.
Yeah.
And you could tell. And it got to the point where he was directing his own movies, you know, just so he didn't have to pay a director.
Right.
And it imploded. But honestly, like, this era of the 90s was like the blockbuster small video store era. This is like, hell, this is before Blu-ray even came out, or DVD even came out, so.
The Lord saved you. I merely showed you your sin.
I was not worthy, I was damned.
You did your penance. I had to crucify you. And the wounds are still fresh to remind you of this.
To remind you.
The Lord saved you!
Alright, let's score it.
Alright.
Paul B.
Give it a solid 8. It's good. Enjoy it a lot. Very tongue-in-cheek, so if you're watching it as a pure horror film, not a pure horror film.
No.
But I enjoyed it a lot. It's not my favorite Lance Henriksen film. But damn good film anyway.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with an 8.5. Merely because Paul's right though, it's not a horror movie. I don't consider it purely like it's got horror elements, it's got some ruin that in it. But no, I would say, I guess on technical merits it is a horror, but it's more in the vein of Evil Dead, I would say.
Army of Darkness.
Or Army of Darkness, yeah, where it's got like a... It knows what it is. It doesn't try to be one thing more than the other, but it's... Regardless of whatever the mix is that makes it up, it's 100% enjoyable.
You idiots! Why did you tear out her tongue?
We didn't! We don't do tongues!
Of course not. How can they confess if they don't have tongues?
All right, I am going to give it... I'm going to match Nick's 8.5. I really enjoyed it. The one thing I really appreciate about it was that if I hadn't seen that this movie was made in 1991, I would never have guessed that this was a 90s movie, that this came from the same decade that showed a 7. You know, it just doesn't feel like a 90s film. It doesn't have the grimness or the grit. It feels like a more carefree, kind of spirited movie you'd see from like a 60s Roger Corman film. Like I say, the set designs, the costuming, it all screams Roger Corman to me with modern actors. But and I enjoyed it for that reason.
You swore you'd show mercy.
In this place, death is mercy.
Liar! Blasphemer!
Nude.
I'm giving it a 9.
Nine!
I really, really liked it. I loved Lance Henriksen. He's one of my favorite actors. Like I said earlier, I love the gore, like the bit of blood. But I like the element of what these guys didn't like about it, or were kind of half and half about it. I like the kind of silliness about it as well, because it adds to it. Only because there's so many, I guess, for lack of a better word, conspiracy theories with the church. It doesn't matter what church, you know, the Catholic Church specifically. And it's nice to poke fun at something like that. So I enjoy that part of it, together with the element of the horror.
I would suggest this movie is on par with something like, say, Return of the Living Dead, because it's fun all the way through. It's got the comedy where it needs it. It's got the grimness where it needs it. It's got some gore. It's a solid production. It's got a great cast. I'd give it a 9.5. The only reason I take the 0.5 away is because there's a few bits of hokiness in there that I think probably could have been polished a bit. But other than that, probably one of my favorite Lance Henriksen movies. I remember renting this back when it first came out, and I'd already seen Aliens and Near Dark and Terminator, anything Lance Henriksen had done. I'm like, okay, this ought to be interesting. At the time, I wasn't a huge Stuart Gordon fan. Like, I had seen Reanimator and I had seen From Beyond, but at the time, I wanted to be entertained. I didn't want to know who made the films or who the people were. I just wanted to see great films. This was the movie where I went, who made this film? And then I started putting two and two together. The Stuart Gordon, Jeffrey Combs combination is a fucking winner. Every time, every movie that those two have done together has been gold. Every time.
No matter how terrible the torture, people get used to it. In time, it loses its terror. I must invent new and more terrible tortures to strike fear into the heart of sinners, to save their souls.
So there you have it, The Pit and the Pendulum, directed by Stuart Gordon for Charles Band's Full Moon Entertainment, starring Lance Henriksen, Jeffrey Combs, Oliver Reed. You can also find Stephen Lee in there, and Mark Margolis plays the torturer Mendoza. Watching him beat a decrepit corpse into dust is a macabre treat. We also get another despicable performance by Tom Tolles as the Captain of the Guard. Of course, you have the lovely Rona DiRici, bearing all she has to offer as the tormented Maria, and her husband Antonio, played by Jonathan Fuller. And we can't forget Frances Bay as Esmeralda, the witch that goes boom. She always plays the perfect hokey old lady, whether she was Happy Gilmore's granny, the famous rye bread victim in Seinfeld, or the murderous demon hag in John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness. We absolutely love her.
I doubt this will be the last full moon picture we spotlight here on the show. There's a ton of fun films under that banner that deserve recognition. The Subspecies movies, Shadow Zone, Puppet Master, The Trancers Saga, Demonic Toys, the list goes on. We hope you had fun listening to this 26th podcast, and until the next time, this is Cash Wampum saying there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here on Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
The Pope will hear of this.
The Pope is in Rome.